Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Cemetery Congregation, out of 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 11, 2017, or it is the 18th day of the 4th month, 2021. We will start our first service day with a song entitled, Come the Fount of Every Blessing. Come the Fount of Every Blessing. In my heart to sing the great streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain, face the garden, mount of the redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safety to our other home. Thou shalt salt me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of Yah, he can rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace our greater debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Yah, mark a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Come to ponder your feelings, come to lead by your heart. Here's my heart, your taken seed, seed it for thy cross of love.
Obedience brings reward. Part 4. Let's continue where we left off with Peter. We're going to go into the word also obey. Obey occurs 69 times in the KJV, starting with Genesis 27:8. Let's go ahead, though, and read out on Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Yahshua has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise of the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of Yahweh. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in the lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and in abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that we run not with them unto the same excess of the riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account unto him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according unto the men in the flesh, but live according to Yahweh and the Spirit. Really, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, this is a very key admonition, because this is where we're at today. We are at this time in prophecy, at the end of the third world. Peter was talking to them at the end of the second world when he said there in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. But folks, we all need to be watching under prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one unto another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of the Yahweh. Then a man speak, let him speak as the oracles of the Yahweh. Then a man minister, let him do it as of the ability which Yahweh giveth, that Yahweh and all things may be glorified through Yahshua, Messiah, unto whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Okay, it says, Beloved, I think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Yahshua's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Yahshua, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory, of the glory, and of the Father resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Now, I doubt that Paul used that word Christian. I doubt it. I believe that he would come near using that word believer in the Yahshua. Yet if any man suffer as a believer in the blood of the Yahshua, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Yahweh on this behalf. That was the main theme back then. Once Paul became converted unto the Yahshua, through the new and living ways of the blood of the sprinkling, the plan of the salvation through the new and living way, through the blood of Yahshua, then that was his main theme. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh? And if the righteous, let's do that again, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And that judgment began at the house of Yahweh. That time came in 2002. And if it first begin at us, which shall the end be of them that obey not the plan of the new and living way, the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? That's a good question. The righteous go through a very great spiritual battle to obtain the seal and the pearl of great price. He has to go through an intense battle, and that's mostly with his visible brethren. That's with the people that are supposed to be his brothers in the truth. That's where his greatest battle takes place. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit the keeping of their souls unto him and well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Okay, that ends chapter 4. Let's go right on into chapter 5 of 1 Peter. Believers, believing leaders and conduct. It says Christian leaders, but I'm going to use that word believing. Believing leaders. And I'm going to go back up and give that a little bit better emphasis of believing and the new and living way of the Yahshua through his blood and conduct. But chapter 5, verse 1, for the elders which are among you I exhort, who am an also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of the Yahshua, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of Yahweh which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being masters over Yahweh's heritage, but being examples to the flock, and actually use that word lords, neither as being lords over the Yahweh's heritage, but being examples unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's what's happened to all failed ministries in times past, is the chief shepherd that was placed over Yahweh's heritage, they became like lords. They became, dictators. They became, they didn't set the example. It says right here, set the example. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For Yahweh resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Now it says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Well, the one in seniority is the one that you are to be in subjection to. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of the Yahweh, that he may exalt you in due time. But you have to humble yourself, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking him he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the Yahweh of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by the Yahshua Messiah, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Closing greetings. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of Yahweh wherein you stand. For the congregation that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluted you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in the Yahshua Messiah. Hallelujah. All right, 2 Peter. We're in the second chapter now of, the second book of Peter. Peter is the author of this book, which was probably written in A.D. 66. Each chapter in 2 Peter focuses on a different topic. In chapter 1, Peter encourages the reader to continue to grow spiritually. Chapter 2 deals with false doctrine and false teachers. Chapter 3 is a prophetic chapter relating unto the return of the Yahshua and the judgment that will follow Yahshua's return. One of the most often quoted scriptures concerning the delay and the Yahshua's return can be found in 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. Alright, start with chapter 1, Spiritual Growth and Faithfulness. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Yahshua Messiah, unto them that have obtained like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of Yahweh and our Savior Yeshua the Messiah. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua our Savior, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and righteousness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience righteousness, and to righteousness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Savior Yeshua the Messiah. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore the brethren, give diligence unto to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior and Yeshua our Messiah. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in the remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Savior Yeshua the Messiah hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Savior Yeshua the Messiah, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from Yahweh the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice unto Him from the exceeding glory, or the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of the prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star, which is Yahshua, arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That is 2 Peter chapter 1. False teachers and doctrines. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Yahshua that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I want to bring this close to home, folks. I lived through this here period of time with the false prophets in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because all of the three feeding pastors, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, had a total Well, I say started with in 1833 with William Miller, First Day Adventist. He is the true prophet. Ellen G. White succeeded him. She's a true prophetess. Jones and Ryder were messengers with inspiration. A Rushes by Faith, 1888-1890. They were true messengers. You had Taylor G. Barnes was a true messenger. That continued on after 1890 with the book 40 Years in the Wilderness. That showed the Adventists where they had a 40-year period from 1890-1930. He was a true messenger with inspiration. So how many is that? That's five messengers up to 1890 with inspiration for the Adventist church. Then M.L. Andreessen came after Taylor G. Barnes, a Seventh-day Adventist minister that had a message. Isaiah the gospel prophet, and he had inspiration. So there you have six messengers for the Adventist church. Vicki Hall succeeded him, and that was number seven messenger. Ben Rhodes succeeded Vicki Hall, and 1955, after Vicki Hall died, Vicki Hall was a true messenger. So up to 1955, when Vicki Hall died, how many true messengers did you have with inspiration for the Adventist Church? You had seven of them. But what happened after that? Then when Ben Vicki Hall died in 1955, Ben Roden took his place, and Ben Roden had both true and false information. So Ben Roden had inspiration. He had lots of it, but he also incorporated false doctrine into his with his the rod message, and so therefore he has to be in the category of a false prophet, because the thing that he prophesied at the end of his ministry was all false, and he came to his end. Alright, so now then Brother Johnson, he succeeded Ben Roden. He's the number ninth messenger to the Adventist Church since 1833. In 1970, Brother Johnson had inspiration, and he was full of it. He was full of inspiration. He had complete inspiration on what he was called to do. That was to teach my people my government and to restore the sanctuary system back to its rightful order, which he did with the creation calendar. So Brother Johnson was very much on track, and he had an inspiration and a true message. But because he made one wrong turn, he lost his inspiration. 1971. Brother Johnson had been going about years. All he'd been doing with the Isaac Branch message, and he lost his direction. Just 1 year. Took him 1 year to lose it all. And he spent the next 32 years as a false prophet. His first year, 1970. To 71, a true prophet, doing exactly what Yahweh told him to do. But from 1971, after he failed at the Passover, 1971, he lost his way. So, he had to go along, he ended up being cut off, and Yahweh and lost his soul. Ben Roden and Willis Johnson, that's fulfilling exactly what Peter said here in 2 Peter chapter 2. False teachers and doctrines. Well, that's exactly what Ben Roden, Lois Roden, his wife, for she usurped that office of inspiration, and she brought a compound condemnation upon the Rodens. And she came with the female Holy Spirit doctrine, so this is what they're talking about, false teachers and false doctrines. And that's exactly what Brother Johnson did. He ended up, everything he prophesied at the end was all false doctrine. Ben Roden, everything he prophesied at the end was all false doctrine. At the end of his ministry in 1970. So, let's read that again in 2 Peter chapter 2. That there were false prophets also in addition to among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Yeshua. How do you deny the Yeshua? Brother Johnson denied him in the name. He refused to use his sacred name after it was given to him in 1970 to restore and use nothing but the sacred names. But he even given a sacred name Bible in 1970 to start his ministry, and still refused to use the sacred names. So how do you deny the Father and the Son? Number one, when you deny their name, and you use and you start calling them by Baal's name, God and Lord and Jesus, and the Mexican, the Spanish people calls him Jesus, pronounced Jesus. And a lot of Spanish people names. They're men folks, Jesus, blasphemy, that bought them and bring upon them swift destruction. Oh boy, I want you to know Ben Roden died on the day he prophesied that Rodas is going to die, the false prophet. He died on the very day that he prophesied, and I mean a horrible death. His wife died a horrible death a few years later. And their son died a horrible death. He was in prison, and the prison guard broke his neck on purpose and got rid of the son. They all died horrible deaths, all the Roden families. Okay, so that was swift destruction. Rose Johnson, he died. I don't know how they said he was in bad shape when he died, but anyway, he's in the grave. Let's go on to verse 2 now. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. That's exactly what happened down at Kermit in 2002, 2003. Because the whole congregation, except three of us, rejected the truth. The whole congregation and continued to follow Brother Johnson in his pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of the truth, and they were shown the way of the truth. I give them the message, July the 14th, 2002, Brother and his wife, I give them the message as an answer to their question, which they questioned me, asked me two times in a row, what is your opinion? What's causing us to lose all of our blessing? I said, well, again, I don't have an opinion. I have never had an opinion. If I can't tell you the facts, I won't tell you, give you my opinion about nothing. They said, well, we want to hear from you. I said, okay, here's the message from heaven. I just got it. And they took that message from heaven, and they fulfilled this verse right here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. By reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. So Brother Johnson spent the next 2 weeks after I gave him that message, July the 14th, 2002. He spent the next 2 weeks, he canceled the next Sabbath meeting in church. He stayed at home writing an answer, debunking, denying that message that I got from heaven was true. He took him 2 weeks to formulate an answer so that to the church why he rejected my message. It took him 2 weeks. So when he started answering the church with lies and innuendos, then that's when I wouldn't allow it. I stood up and I said, I'm not going to allow this. I'm going to tell the truth. Brother Johnson, you're through lying. I stood up and took the floor for the next 2 hours and I told them the truth. And then I walked out and said, I'll never be back. Okay, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That was amazing. When I was down at Kermit all those years, 20 years I spent right there in Kermit, going to the congregation, into their church building, I said to myself many times through the years, I wonder when will be the last time I'll ever walk through these doors. I said, I wonder when that will ever happen. I said, yet that day is coming when one of these days I'll walk out of here and I'll never, never, ever again walk back through those doors. And July the 27th, 2002, that happened. I gave my 2-hour eulogy to them, and I said, and I'm leaving, and I walked out. My wife stayed in there. She stayed in there. But I walked out and I said, I'll never go back to those doors again. Walked out in the middle of the street on my way to my house, which was right across the street. I stopped in the middle of the street, I turned back and saluted the church and I said, I will never again pass through those doors. Okay, verse 4. For if Yahweh spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of the righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the unrighteous, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into the ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live unrighteously, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. For the Yahweh knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of the temptations, and for the reserving of the unjust unto the day of the judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Yahweh. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of the unrighteousness, as they that count it a pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving, while they feast with you, having eyes full of the adultery, and that cannot cease from a sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. For the dumb ass speaking with the man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, unto whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. But when they speak great swelling words of the vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Yahweh and Savior Yahshua Messiah, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of the righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according unto the true proverb, the dog is turned unto his vomit again, and the sow that was washed unto her wallowing in the mire. Okay, that ends 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's continue right on into 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Yahshua's return. Okay, this is Peter's talking about the second coming of the Yahshua. Now, isn't this interesting? Yet people talk about the second coming of Yahshua and they don't even know what Peter has to say about it, so let's refresh our minds. For the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. And both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. Now he's talking about pure minds. Stir up your pure minds. We have to have pure minds, folks, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, for the apostle, the Savior, and Yahshua, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. It says they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of the Yahweh the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of the judgment and perdition of the unrighteous them. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering unto usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and righteousness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Okay, now we have prophecies that saying that the Yahweh is going to restore this earth during these last days. Right here in probationary time, he's going to restore this earth. And said righteousness is going to cover the earth, the whole face of the earth, here in this 12th parabolic hour. So when is this end of the world coming? It's coming during probationary time, right here in this 12th parabolic hour. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blame. And account that the long suffering of our Savior is salvation. Okay, that's kind of vague there. And account that the long suffering of our Savior comes with the salvation, is with the salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, of our Yahshua, and our Savior, the Yahshua Messiah. Unto him be both glory, be glory both now and forever. Hallelujah. Okay, that ends 2 Peter chapter 3 and the whole two books of Peter. So, I think it would only be fitting then now to look at some scriptures on the word obey. Rather yet, let's just change that idea and go into the next book following Peter, and that is in the epistles of John. Let's go into the first epistle of John. 1 John was written by John, an apostle of Yahshua, between AD 85 and AD 90, beginning with the very basic premise of sin. John moves quickly unto the truth of the salvation through the Yahshua Messiah. Alright, it says John moves quickly unto the truth of the salvation, and through Yahshua Messiah, and that would have to be through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20, by the brother sprinkling, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're right here at Peter, so let's just look at that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter and an apostle of Yahshua Messiah, unto the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according unto the foreknowledge of Yahweh, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of the Yahshua, grace, of the Yahshua Messiah, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. So, those that are the strangers, and we have people that are classified as strangers that come in and worship with us now. Every one is classified as a stranger. The other one is classified as a knowledgeable Israelite, but the other one is classified as a stranger. And she's believing everything she hears, but she don't understand everything she hears, but she believes it. So that's where the rub comes in. It's not the rub. This is where the reality comes in. That all you have to do is lay a hold and believe and be obedient unto present truth. And we just read about present truth a while ago there, and Peter. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. You have to be established in the present truth. Okay. Let's go now with first epistle of John. Yahshua, sin, and the believer. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of the life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Yahshua Mashiach. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that Yahweh is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Now he's talking about the Father here is light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of the Yahshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? No. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if you go around saying you don't have no sin, then you don't feel any need then for this cleansing blood to intervene in your life. If we say we have not sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, if we say we have not sin, sin is a past tense. If we say that we have not sin, and we don't sin now, well, then we make him a liar. Alright, second chapter. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua Messiah, the righteous. So apparently, there is a knowledge of how to overcome sin and stop sinning. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For the believer's life in the Yahshua. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Ooh. So we know if we keep his commandments, hereby we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. And he saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, but also keepeth his word. In him verily is the love of Yahweh perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. For the old commandment is in the word, which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is in the truth, in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. What do you mean the darkness is past? The darkness of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant, how it continued on from the animal sacrifice of the blood of the animal of the Old Covenant in the Old Testament time, how it made its transition into the New Covenant by the blood, which was is now by the blood of the Yahshua instead of the animal sacrifice. That's the darkness that they passed from. That darkness is past. Now they have eyes open to the true light, how to walk in the truth. Okay. He that saith he is in the light, verse 9, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Now if you say that you're in the light, you accepted this truth, but you hate your brother, you're still in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Okay, all you have to do is have the true love for your brother. Okay. But he that hateth his brother is in the darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. What darkness? The darkness that was caused by him hating his brother. So you see why they failed at turning. They had truly, literally hated me. The whole congregation, except my wife and Alan DeLong, and all the rest of them, they had an intense hatred. So they fulfilled the scripture right here. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him, that is, from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. See, it says, because you have known him. Who is that? Because you have known Yahshua. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of Yahweh abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, John is addressing all of these that have accepted this new light of the Yahshua, and are walking in all of his commandments, starting with the fathers, down to the youngest. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that the anti-Messiah shall come. It says anti-Christ here, but we know better. We use that word Messiah, which is a title. Christ is also a title. It's not a name. So Messiah is not a name, it's a title. Meaning Yahweh with us, Emmanuel. Even now are there many anti-Messiahs, whereby you know that it is in the last time. So now John is talking the same language that Peter was talking back then. He said, we're in the last time, folks, for this end of the world. Well, those people, the righteous also, they had their end. Look, they had their end. They were limited to time because there was 2,000 more years to go, but they didn't know this. So they all had to go through the grave. That's the reason why it was the last time for them. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. So John is only writing to those that have been born again, starting with the fathers, down to the least one. He's only dealing with those that are sanctified believers. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Yahshua is the Messiah? He is the anti-Messiah. It says he is anti-Christ. Okay, let's put some prepositional phrases in here behind that verb is. Let's start with the prepositional phrase. For he is as the Antichrist, the Anti-Messiah, that denieth the Father and the Son. So who is a liar but he that denieth that Yahshua is the Messiah? So, this liar that denies Yahshua is not the Antichrist. He is one of the Antichrist. No, he is as the Antichrist. He's not one of the Anti-Messiah. He is as one of them by being a liar. Now, a liar, he's the same thing. He's classified with all the Antichrists running around claiming to be the Messiah. Even all the liars are classified as Anti-Messiah. So you get the point? All non-believers are classified as Anti-Messiahs. So the world today is looking for the Antichrist to appear. They believe it's the one single person. Not so. All non-believers in the present truth are classified as anti-messiahs. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 23 and John. Whosoever denieth the Father, the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. If that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is with the truth, and is with no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. How do you do righteousness? For those of us that have had the sanctuary completely restored unto us, with all the feast days, the daily, and so forth, if we practice all of that faithfully, then we are automatically identified as the righteous. This brings me to close by saying this is our contact, this is the 11th hour caller, number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Beautiful Garden of Prayer.
There's a garden where Yahshua is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. Oh, it glows with the light of His presence. It's a beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden there. beautiful garden of prayer. When our Savior reigns and He opens the gates to that beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Yeshua is waiting, and I go with my burden and care. Just to learn from His lips words of comfort in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gate to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Yeshua is waiting, and He begs you to come meet Him there. Just to bow and receive His blessing in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. When I Savior awaits, and He opens the gate.